I believe in the resurrection of the body. On the last day, every human being who ever lived will rise from the dead in his or her own body. The just and those who are not to be saved. We should meditate on this often. But how can we if we don't know? So let's hear it from Father Hardin and resolve right now that we're not only going to use the graces available to us to be one of the just on Judgment Day, but also to teach others the truths of our holy Catholic faith, so they will too. Father Hardin.
Suppose we start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mother of eternal life,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our present conference is on the 11th article of the Creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body. As Christians, we not only believe that the human soul is immortal, we also believe that the human body is to rise immortal from the grave. However, our souls are spiritual by nature, and therefore naturally immortal. Our souls will never die. A synonym, we will never die. In God's original plan, the bodies of human beings were not to have died. But once sin entered the world, the human body is destined to die when the soul leaves the body, and what we call our death. The death of the body is when the soul leaves the body. One of the great gifts of Christianity to human wisdom is its clear teaching that there is no such thing as reincarnation. How we need to believe that. Something like 2 billion people in the world believe in reincarnation. Our faith tells us we are conceived and born only once. When our souls leave our bodies, immediately our destiny is determined for all eternity. There are 3 D's that over the years I've recommended to people to memorize. They are death, decay, and delay. The delay is the time span when our bodies die and begin to decay, and when they will rise again from the grave, or what we casually call, mistakenly, the last day. In the short time at our disposal, you will ask and briefly answer a series of questions. How is the resurrection of the body reasonable? Will all human beings rise from the dead? Will each of us receive our own personal body? What are the qualities of the risen body? And then some spiritual implications. from our faith in the resurrection of the body. Our faith in the bodily resurrection is rational. We certainly believe, therefore, on faith in the bodily resurrection of the dead. Already in the Old Testament, the prophet Job declared, I quote, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and on the last day I shall rise out of the earth. Now I shall be clothed again with my skin, and in my flesh I shall see my God." 19th chapter, 25th and 26th verses of Job. In the New Testament, the most extensive and explicit teaching on the bodily resurrection is found in the writings of St. Paul. While urging the Christians to practice selfless love, I counted them. He devotes no less than 58 verses on the final resurrection of the body on the day of judgment. St. Paul's logic is very simple. We are to practice charity in loving others, not only in soul, but also in body. The Lord will reward us both in spirit and in body, providing we have practiced charity when we rise from the grave. How well I know, how painfully well I know, to love others selflessly, we must pay a heavy price, not only with our loving wills, but, do I say it, with our loving bodies. Writes St. Paul, "Whatever you sow in the ground has to die before it is given new life. And what you sow is not what is going to come. You sow a bare grain, for example, of wheat, or something like that. And then God gives it the sort of body that He has chosen. Each kind of seed gets its own kind of body." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. We may therefore say that when our bodies are buried in the grave, they are like seed sown in the ground. Then at harvest time, God will raise up from this buried seed the risen body of our glorified humanity. How I like this language. Our entrance into eternity is harvest time. The fathers of the church have made many similar comparisons. For example, the sun seems to die every day at nightfall, only to rise again in the morning. Trees lose their leaves in the autumn, and then, as by a resurrection, the leaves return in the spring. we shall all rise again. It is only logical for sacred scripture to emphasize the resurrection of the just. But divine revelation does not omit reference to those who will not be saved. In context, Jesus foretells how he will come to judge the whole human race. This time, I quote from St. John's Gospel. I tell you most solemnly, the hour will come, in fact, it is already here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and the whole hear it will live. For the Father, who is the source of life, has made the Son the source of life. And because he is the Son of Man, has appointed him supreme judge. Do not be surprised at this, for the hour is coming when the dead will leave their graves at the sound of his voice. Those who did good will rise again to life. Those who did evil to condemnation. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. Does this therefore mean how the whole human race will rise from the grave? Yes, for the basic reason that all of mankind always accept Jesus and his mother Mary, both of whom were not conceived in sin. Jesus, we know, died because he chose to die. And the church's common teaching is that Mary died, but not because she had to, but only because she wanted to be like her divine Son and chose to die. None of us has any choice. All of us will die because we must die. And we must die because we were conceived in sin. We shall all receive our own bodies. The unqualified teaching of divine revelation and the Church's universal magisterium. This tells us that all of us will rise with our own bodies. As we'll see, much improved. Again, the prophet Job is very clear. I'm quoting Job. In my own flesh I shall see God. My eyes shall behold him. Job 19, verses 26 and 27. All authentic Jews, before Christ and since, believe in the bodily resurrection of the dead. We might say this is what we would expect. After all, we are not angels. We are to serve God with our own individual soul and our own personal body. This same soul and body is to be rewarded in eternity. And notice, we are to serve God here on earth in both soul and body. And provided we do, we will be rewarded in both soul and body. And clearly, in true divine justice, it must be, what else? The same soul and the same body with which we had served God here on earth. We, in our souls, in our bodies, will be rewarded. Of course, as we both believe and hope, our body will be glorified. Well, that is only another word for being rewarded. Each individual person with his or her own distinctive body, united with each one's unique soul, will receive the just recompense for having served God faithfully in this valley of tears. How this needs to be emphasized. Of course, God is not only loving, He is infinite love. But having created rational creatures, this same loving God is also a just God. And although we've come to associate, sadly, justice with punishment, justice is first and primarily a reward. Better, divine justice is the wage we earn for having served God faithfully. And not being angels, but human beings, we are to serve God both in spirit and in body. And consequently, both our souls and our bodies will receive their just reward. The qualities of our risen bodies. We begin with the most basic quality of our risen bodies. When we rise from the grave, this is our bodily immortality. When our first parents sinned, they lost the gift of bodily immortality. Had there been no sin, no human being would have died. Our salvation by Christ restored the supernatural life of our souls, which, as we believe, we receive when we are baptized. However, the risen life of our bodies is delayed until the dawn of eternity, which, as we've said, we popularly call the last day, Mother Church prefers to call the first day. What I'm going to say needs to be underlined. Not all those who rise from the dead will be saved. Unrepentant sinners will also rise with immortal bodies. Let me say it. For these bodies are destined for everlasting suffering. The most graphic description of the glorified risen body was given by St. Paul in writing to the Corinthians. The whole Christian eschatology is based on the apostles' revealed words. It's a long quotation, but I think worth reading. Some may ask, how are dead people raised? And what sort of body do they have when they come back? These are stupid questions. Whatever you sow in the ground has to die before it is given a new life. And the thing that you sow is not what is going to come. And then God gives it the sort of body that He has chosen. Each kind of seed gets its own sort of body. Everything that is flesh is not the same flesh. There is human flesh, animal flesh, the flesh of birds, and the flesh of fish. And there are heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. For the heavenly bodies have a beauty of their own, and the earthly bodies a different one. The sun has its brightness, the moon a different brightness, and the stars a different brightness. And the stars differ in their individual brightness. It is the same with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. The thing that is sown is contemptible. What is raised is glorious. A thing that is sown is weak, but what is raised is powerful. When it is sown, it embodies the soul. When it is raised, it embodies the spirit. Unquote, St. Paul, First Letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 through 44. Just a word of comment. Notice, St. Paul distinguishes between the soul in our human bodies here on earth and the soul in the glorified body in heaven. He calls the soul in heaven now a spirit. And that is the church's distinction between soul and spirit. The soul as such is a principle of natural life for the body. The Spirit is the principle of supernatural life here on earth, a supernatural life based on faith. In heaven, the supernatural life, a vision, seeing God face to face. What St. Paul is telling us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is of the essence of our faith. How we need, how desperately we need to believe that our bodies are destined to be glorified. Not unlike the seeds of wheat sown in the ground, so our dead bodies are sown, get the verb, sown in the grave. More like the seed that then begins to grow, rise of the earth as a field of grain, so will all human bodies rise from the dead. And then the qualities of our risen glorified bodies will be such as Christ briefly manifested to his chosen apostles. Remember, when he revealed himself in his glorified state at the Transfiguration. We've seen the first and primary quality of the risen body is its immortality. Let me go on. The glorified body is not able to suffer pain. There's a long polysyllabic name for not just the absence of pain, but the inability to suffer pain in our glorified bodies. It is called impassibility. And the Latin for suffering is passio. This means, now the glorified body will not only be immortal, because it will never die again, will also not be subject to pain. If there is one correlation we should all make, it is between pain and death. Remember, both death and bodily pain are the consequences of sin. On the day of the resurrection, our glorified bodies will experience the reward for patient endurance of bodily pain on earth. The reward is, to say the least, a painless, but I want to add, a very conscious, experienced, painless eternity. In this life, bodily pain is God's way of constantly reminding us of our bodily mortality. What a precious gift from God is bodily pain. The key word is sign. In theological language, A sign is something that is both sensibly perceptible and mentally intelligible. Oh, but in this case, mental intelligibility depends on faith. The mind must believe. The pains we suffer in our bodies to our lives on earth are the sensibly perceptible manifestations of the profound truth that we are to die. I would like to repeat St. Augustine's question. What shall I call our life here on earth? Is it a living death or a dying life? God sends us. What a grace. God sends us bodily pain to constantly remind us we are not to remain here on earth. And the closer I get to the eternity, the more I repeat, thank God. We are destined for everlasting happiness. However, what an important adversity. However, we know in faith we shall not attain our destiny in heaven unless we have been willing, and the key word is willing, and the key word is willing to carry the cross, which means patiently, willingly, do I add the word cheerfully, suffer pain here on earth. Our bodily pain, therefore, is a constant exhortation to do the will of God, no matter how costly the price may be. Why? Because the pains we experience here on earth are already the consequence of sins committed by others or ourselves in the past.